Hi, this is Nat Metcalf. Flyhawk have developed a unique 3D kit designer that's fully customable. So if you're looking for a new kit for your team, visit flyhawk.com or email info@flyhawk.com with your ideas now.
Nation Player is the easy-to-use, one-stop radio and audio app. Download Nation Player now on the Apple App Store or Google Play. Nation Player, we're on. Are you?
The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
Netball Show with Flyhawk, Gary Burgess, thanks again for your time. As we're going to have a quick look at the new rules, first question, I suppose, is explain a little about the process that was undertaken.
Yeah, so Super League this year, certainly the professionalisation age, is all about getting eyeballs on the court and making it a really exciting proposition. I think Claire Nelson has been very clear in what she wants to achieve with the Super League, and obviously the rules and innovations are some of the things that will help us to attract new viewers, but also to enthuse, I guess, our traditional netball family and those people that keep coming back. So the earlier, probably, we started about 12 months ago, we had an initial scoping and consultation internal about what innovations were around. Obviously, you know, people are seeing that the Super Shot and other things were floating around in the SSN. And there were quite a few things that were on the table that were then sifted through. And then we went to a more wider consultation with players, coaches, the teams, administrators, legends of the game. And we find ourselves after all of that process, goodness me, it sounds like it was easy, but it certainly was a long old slog for the last 12 months. We've arrived at where we are now.
Some of the new changes include no more draws, 1 90-second tactical timeout per team per game. I suppose just further advances, really.
Yeah, so I guess those things, I mean, certainly all of them are trying to add an element of excitement. Now, I'm a big advocate of one-goal games. Some of the biggest big finals that I've done have been within one goal. And I do believe that netball in itself, those one-goal thrillers were created massive excitement and they were really spectacles of the game. However, if you think about those, and we saw it even in this first round, you know, a couple of the quarters of the game that I was umpiring, the Thunder versus Loughborough game, the quarter ended on that thriller. So that's what the kind of Super Shot brings in there, and it also can keep the scores close. Now, with regards to tactical timeouts, I know that we've opted for one per team per match. I know in elsewhere across the world that they do more. Whether or not that actually, how that transpires, you'll be best off to ask a coach. All I know is it gives me another opportunity to get a quick drink and have a breather. And I certainly felt when it was called by Loughborough, I believe, at the weekend, there was a run of probably 5 or 6 goals. And I certainly was welcome for a quick breather. But how that turns out tactically, you know, will be will be best of asking the teams. With regards to that no draws, I think, it does provide that excitement factor. And, you know, the Super Shot period is played throughout those 2 periods of 5 minutes. So it's shorter than an international game. But again, at the end of that, you could win the game by a Super Shot. So Super Shot, as I said, is played throughout those periods of extra time. So ultimately, that one goal bosh could be the thing that wins the game, and again adds that another layer of excitement to it.
I think Chelsea mentioned it at the weekend as well, that she was a little bit disappointed that Forest couldn't make it within 5, just as she ended up with a point. We'll find out throughout the season, I suppose, but it's little things like that, really, initially.
Yeah, and again, those sorts of things, they are the one things, like umpires, I think I've said to you in previous podcasts, you know, we're expert in the rules. The regulations change far too often for us to stay relevant and experts in those. So that really is a regulation. So we don't worry too much about that. It does affect the momentum, and it could affect in the last, you know, last period of play or last quarter, sorry. It could affect the way in which the teams play to either protect that buffer or to work harder to beat that buffer. But luckily, that's one of the things that we don't necessarily have to worry about, really. We're focused with application on court, really.
Was there any consultation done with, say, international umpires before these new rules were brought into play?
Not necessarily international umpires, but the Super League and ANZ Premiership in New Zealand and Suncorp Super Netball this year work very closely with World Netball to align what we were doing and actually ask their expertise. So people like Cheryl Danson, who's one of our Super League assessors, but is also the chair of that panel, people like Michelle Phippard, they were supporting us on the rule writing behind that to try and encourage consistency in that space. Because what some people might not know is that in any adapted format of the game, initially you weren't able to test umpires for their international awards. So in Suncorp, over the last 3 or 4 years, they've not been able to assess umpires at that level. And we were faced with that in Super League. We were going to have to, if we had any international tests or any screens. So those are the things that A award or Super League umpires go through to then be recognised for being ready for their international test. We couldn't do that. We would have had to have done it on Next Gen. But by doing that consultation, World Netball have allowed the Super League, SSN and the ANZ Premiership to test international umpires on the adapted format of the game. But we're under some conditions to feed back any performance data and any specific rules, reviews and things like that, and how it's gone to them. So yeah, World Netball was definitely involved. And within that consultation pool, there were a couple of international umpires in there as well.
The consultation as well, NPA posted that you'd done a call to members explaining some of the key points ahead of the league starting as well. So I suppose the initial question there was, what was their response like?
Well, I mean, Officiating has a really good relationship with the NPA. So over the last couple of seasons, we've invited the NPA to our pre-season briefing. So we do a briefing with the coaches and the leadership teams of each of the teams to just go over some of the main rules and some of the main interpretations that we had. Particular focus this season in contact and contest, which I'm sure we can talk about later on. But basically, the NPA were present in that. We run, you know, our plans past them, and certainly at the end of them, the recordings that we make of those sessions are shared with the teams for cascade down to the other players in the squad, but also in a kind of triangulation to kind of complete the communication circle. The NPA then share that information with all of their own players. So it does mean that we get better coverage and better visibility of all of the things that players might expect to come down the chute.
Hello everyone, my name is Jadine van der Merwe and you are listening to The Netball Show.
Back with Gary Burgess here on The Netball Show. Gary, the important thing as well this season, we're already noticing that alongside the fixtures, the officials are mentioned as well. That's a nice change.
Yeah, well, we've always kind of announced the umpires in more of a grid fashion, but I've got a really fantastic member of my team, Callum. In actual fact, everyone that works in my team is great. I'm just so blessed to have them work for me. But Callum in particular is a whiz on social media, as was his predecessor, Fran. And he's really pulling in, you know, all of our imagery to raise the profile of our officials this year in that sense. So people know who's umpiring. If you are listening to this and you want to have a check out, have a look on the NSL website, and all of the 12 umpires that have been selected have all got profiles on there. So you can find a little bit more out about them on there. But yeah, we do want to raise a profile, not only of the umpires, but also of the technical officials, the unsung heroes of all of this. Those are our bodyguards, basically. They're the people that time and score the game and basically cover our backsides when, you know, when anything might go wrong. It doesn't happen very often, but if it does, they're always there to support, as is the reserve.
And elsewhere, we've seen more Europe Netball Day Awards for Natalie Maz and Jankil as well. Keeping you on your toes.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, absolutely right. The succession plans are really, really healthy. I mean, probably 4 or 5 of our top umpires in the Super League will retire in the next couple of years. But, you know, even off the back of our first, we had all of the umpiring pool out on court at the Super Cup. So everyone was performing there. And both myself as the head of officiating and also the assessment team were just so impressed at the way in which the umpires approached this new version of the sport for us. But also it was testament to the amount of work that they'd put in pre-season, both not only on the on-court stuff, so going to pre-season matches, but it's also all of the off-court stuff, the rules reviews, the performance analysis that they've done in pre-season, so that actually, rather than having the first couple of rounds to get into it, they nailed it from the start. And again, the once the season starts, I'm actually, as the head of officiating, because I'm one of the umpires, I'm locked out of any performance data and anything like that. I get it given back to me the day after the grand final, believe it or not, but certainly during the season, because I am one of the umpires, the assessment team takes care of that and deploys and assesses everybody to ensure that the teams are getting the best umpires, you know, and the best performances week in, week out.
Maybe somebody is looking to get involved as part of their and start their coaching journey, really. How could we find out more on that element?
Well, this is really great. We've had a real change in learning and development within England Netball, and we are currently switching to a quarterly. There was always a long a short on sale period, but then a long wait for people to get on umpiring courses. Now, some of the changes that are happening imminently, in actual fact, there's a course launch coming up very soon, so keep your eyes peeled on the England Netball website. But basically, we're going to a quarterly release. So the maximum an umpire will have to wait, or a trainee will have to wait, is 3 months rather than 6 to 9, which was previous. If they book onto the course at the right time, the shortest wait that they could probably have is 4 weeks until they go on their officiating course. So we're making courses more accessible. We will always be indebted to our counties for the support that they give those umpires in the field to actually get them to their assessment. But ultimately, if you do want to get on a course and there are no course places available at the moment, there is an expression of interest form on the officiating section of the England Netball website. You pop your name on there and you will get contacted directly when the courses are launched. So you shouldn't be able to miss out. But even if you do, you're not going to have to wait 6 to 9 months anymore. It will be, you know, a minimum of one, maximum of three before you can get on a course. So it's really great and a real good step forward from learning and development.
I hate to use the phrase, but I'm going to. Are you seeing like a Wimbledon effect where start of the league, maybe Prem coaches want to get involved?
Yeah, you're right there. We definitely experience ebbs and flows in the season, and we're hoping that this new course launch, where it's more consistent, you know, little and often, rather than everyone go, ready, steady, go, and now you have to wait ages. I think we will see that. But our Wimbledon's come just before the season. So a course launch that comes in August is always kind of like, oh my God. And then, you know, there are other parts in the season where, you know, it kind of peters off between September and Christmas, and then it goes again in January, and then it peters off, and then it goes again in March, April time. So we've probably got four kind of big bits where people get on board. But what we are seeing with this new system, we're seeing a lot more umpires qualifying than ever before. Like we used to do an old system that was face-to-face. Now we've got three times as many umpires qualifying now than we ever had before. So it really is, you know, the mode of delivery is working really well. Always could be better. We're always looking for ways in which it can evolve. But at the moment, the system's working well. But as I said already, you know, we are reliant on the expertise of our assessors in the counties to then put the cherries on the top for these umpires, basically, and qualify them locally.
I'm throwing this at you, but what kind of figures are we looking at the minute, or the last couple of months?
Well, since September the 1st, we've had 786. And I've not rehearsed this, Andy, actually. You'll learn to not believe me, but I literally had a meeting before this with the new head of coaching. There is about, I think, 782 umpires qualified since the 1st of September last year. We go from September to August in the seasonal year rather than anything else. But year on year, that, you know, I think we had nearly 2,000 last year, 2,000 the year before that. And this is all since we returned from COVID in 2021, that we've really had a massive amount of umpiring. I conducted some insight in 2018 about the number of active umpires, and it was about 4,000 or 5,000. We've added to that number, whether or not they're active or not, we rely on them to tell us, but we've certainly doubled that number since we returned from COVID. So the numbers are healthy. Where they're umpiring, we don't 100% know, because the insight's not there yet, but it certainly will be. And we rely on our counters to let us know where the shortages are.
A couple of rounds in, really, and obviously the rules are now in place. Are they working? Daft question.
I think they are, yeah. I think they are. And I certainly think from our point of view, the work that we've done, I mean, everyone always talks about the problems. No one ever, in umpiring, no one ever sees the fantastic advantage that's played to get the ball under the post. They see the fantastic pass. Now, we're not saying that we're more important than the players. Absolutely not. Our job is there to provide the players with a consistent platform in which to be excellent. As long as we can be consistent, they've got every chance of being excellent. But I think from my point of view, we've done everything we need to do. But some problems exist. So historically, you know, there might have been a scoring error with super shots in other competitions around the world. We've got three layers of mitigation on that now and double checking. One of the things that people may see that they've not seen before is that on any suspensions or ordering off, the umpires will be conferring. A conferral is not about indecision. I'm just checking that my decision was 100% correct, because she may well have had a better angle. So if you do see umpires conferring on suspensions and order offs, it's not because of indecision. It's to get the right outcome for the game, and also to get the right outcome for that player. And again, the other thing that always, it used to leave me, you know, give me sleepless nights. And I always used to imagine a World Cup final where was the ball through the ring? Was it not? But things like that, that's one of the other big things that we are, there's margin for error on. But again, we are ensuring that we've got the second pair of eyes from the reserve umpire. And there's a lot of non-verbal communication between the umpires, you know, with a nod or a shake of the head or a point.
Raise of an eyebrow. Raise of an eyebrow.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, yeah, it is funny. I always remember umpiring with Jackie Meisen. We umpired almost telepathically. I have the same with a couple of umpires in the pool at the minute. But it is just, it's just such a privilege to umpire with these guys in the pool, because the umpiring that's out there at the moment is by far the best that's ever been out there. And it's certainly looking good for me, pointing towards coming to the end of my time on court. It, you know, I've got no issues with the succession planning that's coming up behind. So it's all brilliant.
And certainly when we look back at on the rules at the end of the year as well, we can maybe just notice the impact they've had really in the game overall.
We've got a few bits and pieces that we need to do with World Netball to just pass back performance data and you know, the success of, you know, how many super shots have been taken, what are the, you know, what's the frequency of those been doing. But again, we're always open to feedback from the coaches. As I said before, that's probably where we had focused on contact and contest more this season. So historically, umpiring in the Super League has been very English. And if you compare it to what you might see on the SSN, English umpiring as a brand kind of tended towards penalising contact, not softer, but we were more likely to penalise contact compared to what was going on elsewhere. Now, we undertook a massive study in the out season. It took 6 weeks to do, lots of data analysis. And that was one of the objectives that the umpires have been given. So again, you might not know this, but umpires get given all of their decisions in a playlist and they have to analyse those decisions. So what people will be seeing here is and players have actually noted this and noted it positively, that there is more contests being allowed than ever before. That is aligned to the change in the rules. So any of these minor bumps and brushes that people might have seen historically penalised, they're basically off the table now. And we're really looking for these athletes to go into strong contests that are balanced and fair. And where the scales tip either way, that's where you should be seeing contact decisions called. And really, if you did press stop, start, rewind, you should be able to see the rule being broken, a change in body position or a hold and a prevention. Yeah. You know, that's going to be more obvious than ever before.
More information, englandnetball.co.uk, if you want to start your umpiring journey. And Gary, I need to ask you, where can I get the new umpire's kit? Because that black version is amazing. And I'd play Sunday League footy in that, but I don't even play Sunday League footy.
Hey, listen. Well, I'm not going to take 100% credit for this, because certainly I didn't make the designs, but that the new black kit is pretty sharp. I mean, I do like it. At the moment, it's not available for retail. However, there is a new line of kit and a new shop coming for the England Netball. So when that is actually launched, the actual base polo shirt and shorts and skorts that everyone wear, performance material, absolutely is the same. So if you want to get a kit like that, that performs as well as the Super League umpires kit does, you'll get the same, but it'll just have a lovely England Netball logo on it instead of our colourful NSL. They call it the handprint. I haven't seen the handprint. It's the other side of the N of the Super League logo. But
yeah,
it,
no, the right. Black one is sharp. Very nice indeed.
Yeah, and I do. That's one of the things that Josh Bower in from Australia has always said. He does like our kit. He does like our kit.
Gary, thanks as always for your time. We'll see how we get on.
We're always adapting, always evolving, and always reviewing, you know, what works and what doesn't work. So, yeah, we watch this space.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate your time.
The Netball Show is now also available via Sky Q and Sky Glass. Select sports and we're on the podcasts rail.